All right, take your Bible tonight, and let's find, I need a launching pad, let's find 1 Timothy chapter 6 again, 1 Timothy chapter 6, and while you're turning there, you know, I want to read you the a portion of the Declaration of Independence, but because there's ice cream, God forbid you get late for ice cream, I want to... I'll forego some of that. But I want to read you something that I thought was just amazing. And I've probably read it here before because I've been here a couple of times during the 4th of July. But I think it's necessary to hear because we're celebrating the birth of a nation. The birth of a nation came through turmoil and hardships and heartache and pain and suffering and much sacrifice. And I'm afraid we have forgotten what it has cost a country, what it has cost our country. And I read you this morning about 9 of the 56 signers that lost literally their entire fortunes. Every dime, died without knowing where their children were, and having their wives pass off the scene, and them never being able to say goodbye, and it's just been a tragedy. But in history, on July the 2nd is when the headquarters in New York, General Washington, said this: "The time is now near at hand, which must probably determine whether Americans are to be freemen or slaves, whether they are to have any property that they can call their own, whether their houses and farms are to be pillaged and destroyed and themselves consigned to a state of wretchedness from which no human efforts will deliver them. The fate, listen to the foresight, the fate of unborn millions will now depend under God on the courage of this army. Our cruel and unrelenting enemy leaves us only the choice of brave resistance or the most abstract submission. We have therefore to resolve to conquer or die. We have a choice. We either fight and do our best, or die. That's the choice. To conquer, to fight and win, or to die and die trying." I'm so glad that these men were willing to do their part. Do you understand, in 1777, as they went to battle, now today in our country, and I think it's a tragedy, and I think... President Trump tried to do something about that and did a great deal to help our soldiers. But today, in 2021, there are still about 21 soldiers a day that are passing off the scene for many, many reasons. And I think that's horrible, and that's a tragedy. The soldiers feel like they have nowhere to turn, and I think it behooves the government to do something about that. I've volunteered, but they told me, "You're not a soldier, you don't know." I said, "Well, I've been through a few wars, I've skirmishes, I might know a little something, but and I don't claim to know anything." But listen to this: in 1777, soldiers died at the rate of 12 per day. I'm talking about continental. I'm talking about patriots, talking about us, Americans. Soldiers died at the rate of 12 per day, with many not even having blankets or shoes on their feet. This is in the wintertime. The commander-in-chief himself records the desperate state. This is General George Washington. "No history now extant can furnish an instance of an army suffering such uncommon hardships as ours has done, and bearing them with the same patience and fortitude. To see men without clothes to cover their nakedness, without blankets to lie on, without shoes, for want of which their marches might be traced by the blood from their feet, and submitting without a murmur, is proof of patience and obedience, which in my opinion can scarce be paralleled. He said they don't have blankets, they don't have shoes, they have nothing to lay on, nothing to walk in, and yet they are the army of today. They are those that have decided to do their best and try their best to make a difference and win a war against the most powerful army on the face of the planet. And can I tell you, you know the outcome. We are not speaking British. Some of us speak a little weird. We speak American. Some of us speak a language that's not... We sort of think it's American. But can I tell you, we are many nations and yet one people. And I just like to say, and I don't know if I'm on camera, I see something flashing over there, so I guess I am. You ought to be in church, not streaming this. But I'm wondering, when are we going to start acting like Americans again? When are we going to start acting like Americans again? When are we going to start acting like people again? Not like a bunch of animals. And not like a bunch of sheep that are being led to the slaughter. I'm wondering, where are the patriotic Americans that are going to stand? Where are the Christian Americans that are going to stand? Patrick Henry. Let me read you what Patrick Henry wrote. Patrick Henry is one of the coolest guys where is he, Patrick Henry? He's over here somewhere. Listen. This is what Patrick Henry said in one of the congresses that he got to speak at. He said this: "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. For this very reason, people of other faiths have been afforded asylum, prosperity, and freedom of worship here." Then he made this statement: "The Bible is worth all books which have ever been printed." He said, but our nation is not founded on religion and religionists, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection. Listen, we are a God-fearing, we are a God-established, Bible-established nation. The only one of its kind. And it's time for Christians to stand up and say something. Take your Bible, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. And we're going to read 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 and 3. And if you'll stand with me out of respect for the Word of God, we're going to read them. I'm going to continue forward on what I was preaching. We talked about this thought on Semper Fi, always faithful, Semper Fidelis, Semper Fi. And I said we ought to be Semper Fi in our passion for Jesus and in our passion for our country. Tonight we're gonna go a step further than that, but in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20, you follow along. The Bible says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. Skip down to chapter 2 Timothy 2, and chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, would you please help us to have a faithfulness in us and on us and about us and through us. God, may our lives be that which you can say they've been faithful. Always faithful. God, please help us tonight as we look at your word. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can have a seat if you would, even if you won't. as I thought about faithful, David said in Psalm chapter 12, verse 1, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." Can I say faithfulness in a sinful world is hard to retain? If you're going to live for God, you're going to suffer persecution. He said, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." In Psalm chapter 31 and verse 23, he said, "O love the Lord, all ye His saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth a proud doer." Can I say, the faithful to God are protected and rewarded. I believe God's looking for faithfulness. Faithfulness always, citizen, speaks always the truth that's real. The Bible says, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. I want to be a faithful witness. May I say, faithfulness is hard to find and very rare. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6, "Most men will proclaim every one his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find?" The Bible says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceit." Can I say, faithfulness comes with wounds of correction by a friend to lovingly redirect? I believe God is looking for faithfulness. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 2, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Faithful. Faithfulness is noticed by God. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 13, the Bible says, "I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou beholdest, and thou holdest first my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth." Can I say, faithfulness is noticed by God Himself and so recorded for all to know and remember. He says, "Antipas, my faithful martyr." Can I say, faithfulness was noticed by God? This is God speaking. He said, "I know thy work, and where thou dwellest, even in Satan's seat, and how thou holdest fast my name, and has not denied my faith, even in those days where Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you." God said, "I paid attention. I'm paying attention." May I say, He pays attention. He is watching. He notices faithfulness. We talked about this thought of semper fi, this thought of always faithful. May I say, God has always and is always faithful to you and I. God has never let us down. Here's what the Bible says in 2 Timothy, you're there, in chapter 2. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. 2 Timothy 1:13, the Bible says this, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us." That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. I believe Paul was teaching us that we are to be always faithful with the Word of God, with the parchment. I simply said, semper fi in our passion and semper fi with the parchment. Can I tell you something, my friends? Paul said, keep that which is committed to your trust. He said, "I've given you, I've passed along the Word of God. I've passed down the Word of God. I've got it from the first generation. I've kept it, I've read it, I've preserved it. And I'm passing it to you the same way I've got it, with all the purity, haven't tampered with it, haven't touched it." And listen, we need to have that. We need to be faithful. Have that semper fi, always faithful with the parchment, with the Word of God. Can I say today that the Bible of the Month Club, there's so many Bibles out there. We're living in a country that you go to the average bookstore and say, "I want a Bible." And they'll say, "What kind?" Just go to your Christian bookstore. Number one, it's not Christian. I'm sorry. You'll get over it. I'm leaving as soon as I'm done, so I'll be all right. As soon as my wife eats ice cream. You go to the average bookstore. Listen, back in 1979, when I got right with God, 1979, I went to the Pennsville Bible bookstore. The only one in the entire county. Little teeny little thing. And I walked in and said, I need a Bible. And she said, what kind? I went, you know, like the one I got in church. Look, I had just fallen, I had just gotten right with God. And I said, what do you mean, what kind? I said, you know, the one they use in church. She said, what church? I went, well, I'm going to the Kingsway Baptist Church. Oh, you're going there. That's what she said. Oh, you're going there. Like, it was bad. I went, yeah. She said, you want one of these. Now, she had five or six different weird things. She reached all the way down at the back of the counter, around the back of the little Bible stand they had in there. They had all these little crucifixes and all this. Like I said, most Christian bookstores are bookstores very little Christian. All the way in the back, she grabbed something out of the back, a black thing that said Old Schofield, had dust on it, been sitting there probably for a year. She dusted it off, still in plastic. She said, this is what your church wants you to have. Number one, how does she know that? Number two, why is it all the way down there? She goes, well, you know, not many people use this one. Listen, I want to be Semper Fi with the parchment. Well, I'm talking about the old time King James Bible. Here's what Paul told Timothy. Hold fast the form of sound words. Bless God, I've got a Bible that's sound, it's real, it's solid, it's all that God wants you and I to know. It's not all that God knows. It's all that God wants you and I to know. It's basic instructions before leaving earth. But can I tell you this morning, or this afternoon, I'm spiritually dyslexic, it's 6:30. Can I tell you tonight, God wants us to be Semper Fi, always faithful with the Word of God. He wants us to read it daily. He says, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. Listen, God said, I want you to be always faithful. I want you to read it every day. The Bible says about the Berean Christians in Acts chapter 7, I think. He says, and they studied the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Can I tell you something, my friends? You and I, if we're going to be always faithful with the Word of God, we've got to read it every day. I heard my Bible professor when I was in college say this, what you do with the Bible does determine what God can and will do for you and with you. And can I tell you, I don't even know where he is today. I don't even know if he's alive, but that thing stuck in my head. As I'm sitting there just listening, wondering, what does he want? We sang that song on the Sunday school bus when I was a little. I was a brand new. I didn't know. I was on a bus route before I was a college student, and I didn't know any of these little kiddie songs because I didn't go to a Baptist church. I went to a Catholic church. I got saved when I was 16, and I quit and caused a lot of confusion and a lot of. Anyway, now I look back on it, I got a kick out of it. But I guess I like causing trouble. I don't know. Maybe it's just, I don't know. But I do remember when I left. But I remember sitting on the bus, and I remember them singing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And the lady bus worker was singing this song. I have never, ever, I am 23 years old in Bible college, and they're singing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible. And I'm sitting in the front row, for the Bible, tell. I'm sitting here crying. Loretta Haynes, Loretta Walker. She's one of my lady bus workers. I had another lady, Linda something, and they're singing, there's two of them are singing, they're doing the bus program. I'm the brand new bus captain. And I'm sitting, or a brand new bus worker, and they're singing this song. I'm sitting on the second row crying. They look, Brother Lou, you okay?
I don't know.
We're singing about the Bible. They're singing songs about the Bible. They got up and sang this one. Read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow in it. I'm not going to do that because my knees hurt. And I sat there doing that, and I'm sitting there, man, I'm jumping on the seat, and I'm having a good time, and I'm thinking, you know what they were doing? I wish somebody would have taught me this when I was little. We were teaching those children to read their Bible every day. Can I say, if you're going to be faithful with the parchment, have that semper fi in your life, that always faithful, you need to read it every day. You need to study it every day. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A worker needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And listen, whatever you do, please, I understand. Don't. I'm not trying to be mean or but I'm so tired of hearing, well, they're the pastoral epistles. Oh. Please say that somewhere in a liberal church somewhere. That don't work here. Study to show thyself approved unto God. You say, well, Paul, the senior pastor, is talking to Timothy. You want to check your Bible and say, several times he called Timothy, my son in the faith. My son in the faith. My son in the faith. It's dad talking to son saying, look, if you want to make it, study. If you want to make it, read your Bible. If you want to make it, study. Every day, study to show thyself approved unto God. Son, listen. I love you. I'm your dad. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you. I believe God allowed Paul to write this. I believe God allowed Timothy to be there, his son in the faith. And I believe God allowed them to write it as father to son. God writes to us as father to children. And it says, look, if you want to make it, you're going to have to study. I want you to always, listen, simplify with the parchment. Get in the book, study it, read it, listen, memorize it, obey it. Listen to what the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 11. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. Listen, that's just pretty simple. God says, here's the deal. I want you to always be faithful to the Word of God. I will bless you if you obey. And I will punish you if you don't obey. God says, I hate what's going on in our country today. I absolutely hate what's going on. I mean, I absolutely hate it. This fake stuff. Now they're giving incentives. We'll give you, listen, in Ohio, they're running $1 million lottery that you can win if you go get a jab. It's not a vaccine, it's a jab. It's not a vaccine, yeah, I said it. Don't get mad. You get mad, you have to get, Grandpa said this, you get mad, you have to turn around and get glad again. So relax. $1 million lottery. They're offering you $1 million if you'll shoot this stuff in your arm. If we allow me to shoot this in your arm, we'll put you in a lottery. You might win $1 million. Yeah, you might die before you get it. Right. You probably will. Anyway, you say, that's your opinion. Okay, well then, you do your homework. I've already done mine. Just leave me alone. You know what God said? Look, they're going to give you $1 million to put something in you. We used to go around an incentive. We used to go around on the bus routes. We're having Goldfish Sunday. You come, we'll give you a goldfish. Brother Lou's going to eat a goldfish if we have 80 people on the bus. I got so tired of eating raw goldfish. I was hoping I would miss my goal some days. Can we just have like 75 and not hit the 80 so I don't have to eat this nasty thing? If we have 100, he will bite it in half and show it to you. Had to do that too. I did. I was nasty. Still am. But I ain't eat no goldfish. I probably would for a big enough love offering, I probably would. Hey, everybody has a price. Mine is just higher nowadays. But you, what is, have you come? We're going to give you, listen, we gave away baby chicks one time. Half of them died. I remember one time we had Hamburger Sunday. We gave everybody, my wife's going to start laughing. We gave everybody, you come, everybody gets a hamburger. They were 10 for a dollar. What were they called? White Castle. Oh, my dog food, my German Shepherds eat, smells and tastes it better than that hamburger I tried to put in my mouth and eat. Say, how do you know? Don't ask. It was these little Mexicans. They were opening these things up. I had 75, 8. I had to buy $8 worth of hamburgers. I bought $9 worth, so they were 10 for a dollar. So I had 80 people on my bus plus a few bus workers, and I figured, they're going to be good. I need a couple. So I bought $9 worth of these things. I got 90 hamburgers, and I got moms and teenagers and all kind of Mexicans and Puerto Ricans on my bus route, and they open that thing up, and it's summertime. I got the window down. Ah, stop Marlo, that's no good. They're throwing out the window on the highway. Incentive. You ride the bus, you get a hamburger. It ain't fit to eat, but I'm going to give you one. You know what God is doing here? He says this. He said, listen, a blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God. And he says, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. He says, I'm trying to help you to be faithful to the Word of God. I want you to read it. I want you to study it. I want you to obey it. And I'm going to give you an incentive. Because God wants us faithful to the Word of God. This Semper Fi to our passion for Jesus. Semper Fi with a parchment. Always faithful with a parchment. Always faithful in our purity. Can I tell you tonight? God wants us pure. He wants us to be have purity of body. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22, the last part of it, keep thyself pure. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, but I keep under my body, Paul says, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul said, I keep my body in check. Can I tell you something? He says, I'm trying to be pure of body. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Can I say purity of body, purity of speech? The Bible says a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. The Bible says keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. The Bible says for the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. God said that the people of God, the priests of God, the leaders, he said they ought to have a clean mouth and clean speech. God says, don't lie. Keep thy tongue from evil. Evil's not lying. Evil's worse. Evil's worse than sin. Evil is hurt on purpose. Evil is premeditated sin. God says, keep your tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Things that you ought not say. We need a purity. We ought to be always faithful in our purity of body, of speech, of mind. I like Romans chapter 12. Verse 2 says this, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God says, I want you to have a pure mind, a mind that is transformed, not conformed to the world. Stop letting the world tell you how to think and what to think. Can I give you a suggestion? I'm an old man. I used to be a kid. I remember sitting on the front row. I remember being a kid preaching. Now I'm the old guy. The old guy that hurts. And the old guy that slams around, things hurt. Listen. Turn off all the noise at your house. So, preacher, I got kids. No, I ain't talking about your kids. I'm talking about the idiot boxes you got on. Sometimes it's better to just sit in silence and think for a little while. Turn off your radio. Turn off all your Christian music. Some of it's Christian. Some of it's... Turn off your news stations. I know you're not going to like me. Turn off your news stations. Turn off your computer. Computer. Geeks, turn off your computer. Turn off your cell phone. I got to turn my cell phone! I don't see how people have lived without a cell phone. My mind's over there on the thing. And look, for an evangelist and a church planting missionary, my phone is my lifeline to the rest of the world trying to help and trying to get meetings. But can I tell you something? Sometimes you got to... I have watched people walk down the street. How do they know where they're going? I've watched them walk. Listen, don't look at me funny, because my sermon will go longer. I've watched them walk out into traffic. Maybe I better look up. We have become retarded. We have become. What's a stronger word than that? We have become dumb. Dumbed down to. Dude, something wrong. Something's bad wrong with that kind of nonsense. If we're going to have purity of mind, you're going to have to turn off the noise. I like silence. I go in my room. I shut the door. I turn on the fan because it's hot in there. And I can read my Bible. I don't look at my phone. I don't even care where it is. If we're going to help our minds, we're going to have to cut off all the noises and distractions you talked about this morning in one of your points in Sunday school. So many distractions. How do you have purity of mind when the devil, who is the prince and power of the air, and airwaves, is pumping all this junk in from all the sides. And you're just... so much noise. You don't even know how to still your mind and sit still for a minute. And I know this. I'm not trying to be mean. Most of you have this figured out. But there's maybe some of you in this room, you don't like silence because you don't like what you are in the dark. I didn't for a long time. I didn't like what I was all by myself. Because I was nothing like him. And I was so convicted sitting in silence. So convicted, all alone with God. I just felt so filthy and so dirty. By the way, I don't think I'm anything, and I don't think I've arrived, and I don't think I have all the answers. I don't even know all the questions. But I do know this. If you can't sit in silence for a half an hour and just spend time in front of your Bible without anything, now you ain't going to do that with grandkids running around. I guarantee you that. But listen, I'm talking about if you don't like who you are all alone, change. Because you are not what God wants you to be. And I'm promising you, when I sat all alone, I heard a preacher say this many, many years ago, and I got alone by myself in that room, and after about 5 minutes, I was going crazy in there. I'm going, God was beating me to death, convicting me of everything that I was not, and everything that I was. He said, "You know who you are." I said, "Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. And I don't like it. Change." God wants to listen. I believe He wants us to be always faithful in our purity, not just in our body, not just in our speech, but in our mind. And I believe in our souls and in our worship. I don't even have time to preach all of this. I want to move on. Can I say tonight, I think we ought to be always faithful to our leaders. I've already wrote down, be Semper Fi to our pastors and preachers, to our leaders. Take your Bible and go to Hebrews. Would you please? Take your Bible and go to Hebrews. This is preventative medicine, because I don't think there's a problem here. But I've been at this long enough to know that there can be a problem. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verse 7. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7. I'm talking about Semper Fi to our pastors and preachers. Look at verse 7. The Bible says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." No, let me help you. Let me break this down. Oh, listen. Semper Fi, always faithful to our pastors and preachers. Notice what it says. Remember them that have which have the rule over you. Does that make anybody mad? Anybody ruling over me? Then throw your Bible in the trash can. God says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. So He defines who they are. These are not rulers with a whip and a chair. These are leaders that are trying to lead you in the things of God. He says, remember them that have the rule over, which have the rule over you, because God's allowed that, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. God said, I want you to, He said, look at them, follow their faith, have a faith like theirs, considering the end of their conversation. He said, I want you to consider who they are, how they walk. Pay attention. If they walk straight and they walk right and they're doing right, I want your faith to follow them. He said, but remember them. Look at verse 17. It gets better. Verse 17 says this. Nobody likes this. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. God says, remember them. Then He steps it up and He says, obey them. Obey them that have the rule over you. Now, we don't like that, obey them that have the rule over you. This is talking about the men of God. It's talking about the preachers, the pastors of the churches, and preachers that come in. He says, obey them that have the rule over you, for they watch for your souls. You know, we don't have a problem. We only have a problem with, I had to let no pastor tell me what to say. No, tell me what to do. We'll let our boss tell us what to do, and we have no problem with that. We'll let our job tell us what to do. We'll let our bank tell us what to do. We'll let a lot of people tell us what to do. I don't let the pastor tell. Ain't a preacher telling me what to do. God wants us always. Listen, I believe we ought to always be faithful to the man of God. God says, "Remember them." He says, "Obey them which have the rule over you, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account." Do you understand? He's going to give an account for you. I'm going to give an account for the time I've been here for you. I'm going to give an account. Listen, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. Now God steps it up one more time in verse 24. He says, remember them. He says, obey them. Now it gets critical. Look at verse 24. Salute all them that have the rule over you and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. God just threw that in for me. And I've never been to Italy, nor do I want to go to Italy. And if I do, I want to preach on the Vatican steps. Save your money. It's a $25,000 fine. Yeah, that's what I've been told. Listen, he says, remember them in verse 7, which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. He says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. He says here, salute all them that have the rule over you. Choma, you were in the army? What do you do when a superior officer walks in the room?
Stand up to attention.
And salute. And you hold it until they return it. My dad said, I was on a ship one day during Korea. He never made it to Korea, but he was a Navy Corpsman, attached to the 6th Marines. He said, I'm on the ship, I'm on deck. He said, and the admiral comes on board. He said, I'm not paying attention. All of a sudden, everybody's yelling, Admiral Deck! Everybody stopped, dropped everything. Their tools just dropped them and stood there at attention. God says, remember them which have the rule over you. Obey them that have the rule over you. And then He says, salute all them that have the rule over you. He says, there's something about, I want there to be an absolute respect from you to leaders. Can I tell you tonight, I've seen such a disrespect in our world today. Just disrespectful people. I've seen disrespectful church people. I mean, they look at the preacher, and if his name's Jim, they go, hey Jim, how you doing, brother? And they treat him like they treat their drunken buddies at work. My Bible says you better remember them that have the rule over you. It says you better obey them that have the rule over you. And then it says this, you better salute all them that have the rule over you. There's got to be an absolute... God said, I want you to understand. I want you to remember them. I want you to love them and obey them. But I want you to do so with utmost respect for who they are and the position I, God, have given them. And I'm afraid that we look at preachers and we look at pastors, preachers, all of us, you look at them and you go, they're just like the rest of us. Not really. Because they've got something on them and in them that God's called them to do that's just burning inside. And they're not like everybody else. They can't be like everybody else. We can't enjoy what everybody else sometimes enjoys. I was telling your son about sometimes I've got to make unpopular decisions because of my walk with God. I have to make unpopular decisions. Some people get upset with me. Well, how come you're not like everybody else? Because I'm not like everybody else. Listen, I believe God wants us to have that always faithful, that semper fi to our pastor, semper fi when it comes as children to our parents, semper fi that always faithful in my pathway, in my walk with God. The Bible says, you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him and keep His commandments and obey His voice, and you shall serve Him and cleave unto Him. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, the Bible says, these things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth. Now, Paul's talking to Timothy. He says, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. He says, have a always faithful in your pathway, in your walk with God. He says, I want you to be the example of a believer in word, in conversation, as a manner of life, in charity, the way you love, in spirit, the way you feel inside, in faith, the way you trust and follow God, in purity, your separation. I want you different than everybody else. I want you different than everybody else. I want you always faithful. always faithful in your walk with God. Can I say tonight, and I'll quit here, and it's 7 o'clock, and we can go eat ice cream. It's before 7 o'clock, but things early. I want to ask you this question. Can Jesus record over your name, Lou D. Philip Antonio, Semper Fidelis, Kelly Choma, Semper Fidelis, Dennis White, Semper Fidelis, Cole, whatever your last name is, hallelujah, Semper Fidelis, or does he say Lou D. Philip Antonio and have to leave it blank because he's not really faithful? He's not always faithful. He's failed me so many times. He's messed up so many times. Can I ask you tonight? I wrote this and I thought about this soldier thing. A soldier who gets out of the service says, I'm going back into the world. Back to civilian life. I'm going back in the world. You think about getting out, you're going back to the world. You think about not being faithful to God, what are you doing? You're getting out of your faithfulness to God. Are you going back into the world? The Bible says, come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will be a father unto you, and receive you unto myself. God says, come out from among them, be separate. Too many of us are looking at going back. No longer Semper Fidelis, no longer always faithful. I think I just go back into the world. I'm out now. I get out of the service and I go back into the world. Can I tell you today, it's a dangerous, dangerous thing when we step out. Psalm chapter 119 and verse 112, and I'll quit with this. The psalmist wrote this, I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. He says, I have inclined my heart, my whole being, my whole being, who I am, I have inclined my heart, he says, to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. Would to God. Would to God that would be us. Revelation chapter 1 says, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. He said, listen, the psalmist said, I'm going to keep and perform thy statutes always. I'm going to be separate fidelis, always faithful, all the way to the end. And then in Revelation, the writer of Revelation says, blessed is he that readeth and he that heareth the words of this prophecy and keepeth those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Time is at hand? For what? To take a stand on God's Word. To take a stand with God's Word. To decide right now, I want to be always faithful. It's time to decide. The time is at hand. Can I tell you something? It's high time to serve the Lord with all you are and with all you got, because the time is at hand. Heavenly Father, would you help us tonight? God, so many things I wanted to say, maybe skipped over some. But God, tonight, you're looking for a bunch of people you can pin a medal on that says, Semper Fidelis, always faithful. I have in my possession, I couldn't find it, but I have in my possession, off of my buddy's army uniform that he received, that he wore on his army uniform, decorated, and one of the pins he wore that he was given, and when he was in Vietnam, he did a tour in Vietnam, he's a Baptist preacher, pastors in North Tonawanda, New York. He gave me a pin off of his uniform, off of his army uniform, and it simply said, Semper Fidelis. It was on his uniform, on his army uniform. I preached a sermon like this. He gave me the pin off of his uniform. He said, you'll appreciate this more than as much as I will. I have it in my office. I believe, God, it's high time for you and I, for your people to be able to have the testimony. Semper Fidelis, always faithful. I'm faithful in my passion for you. I'm faithful in your parchment. I'm faithful to my pastor. I'm faithful to do what's right. I'm faithful to follow on the right path. God, help me so that my testimony can be Semper Fi. Semper Fi, brother. Semper Fi, preacher. Semper Fi, Christian. Always, always faithful. It's high time. The time is now. Time to take a stand. Time to decide. I will be always faithful. I'm going to do my best. From now on, I want my testimony. I want people, when they think of me, I want them to think and be able to look at me and say, Semper Fi, brother, you're doing good. You're always faithful. I want on my tombstone somewhere along the line, he's not perfect, but he's tried his best to be faithful. God, help us tonight. Would you bless us tonight? As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I believe, but I'm going to ask, I wonder tonight, you say, preacher, if I died right now, I'm absolutely, positively, no doubt about it, sure. If I was to die this second, I'm on my way to heaven. I know that I know that I know that I know that I know. For a Bible reason, I'm saved and on my way to heaven. Say, preacher, that's me. Saved and I know. Would you slip a hand up? Say, preacher, that's me. I'm saved and I know it. All right, that's about every hand in the house. Thank you very much. About every hand in the house. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. Can God say about you, his life, Semper Fi. Her life, Semper Fi. Their lives, Semper Fi. Their service, Semper Fi. Their passion, Semper Fi. Their Bible reading, Semper Fi. Their prayer life, Semper Fi. Their service to God, Semper Fi. Always faithful. Or does it have to leave a blank space saying, don't look that way. Tonight, my friends, I just want God to be pleased with our lives, with my life. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes.